Hello and welcome to Community Quest episode 416. I'm your host, Mike. Go fuck yourself, AI apps. And here with me as always,
Range unsatisfiable, David McBurney, Fanboy Master.
And possibly in and out, but not by choice, your man in Japan, Michael Baker, Gaiji Monogatari.
And Smoking Joe Gamer will join us shortly, and our guest this week,
Eric RPG from RPG or Grinders, not GCast.
That's slightly different.
I am tired. I took a nap, but I'm still tired.
I think we all are.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm always up late, and I'm deservedly tired.
Also, I became a meme because I'm now 42, so I found the answer to the ultimate question.
But old!
How old are you, Wheels?
42. Almost 43 in 2 months.
Yeah, you're one of those people that like ages right at the end of the year.
Exactly at the end of the year.
It's always easy to tell just by math how old you are.
Yes.
And I hate having to share my birthday with a national holiday.
Well, at least your national holiday isn't one where everyone else has a different party to go to.
Yeah. True. Also, most people don't celebrate this national holiday.
Yeah.
And the national holiday isn't always on my birthday. It just happens to be the time of year.
And also, I mean, a lot of the people currently celebrating this national holiday are the kinds of people I don't want to go to a party with.
Mm.
Rather,
your insistence on celebrating Columbus Day, there are many questions to be had for you, including, are you a fucking idiot?
Can we replace this holiday?
Oh, no. Oh, no, my favorite is some of the Italian New Yorker community protests against Columbus Day going, choose a better Italian. How about this guy instead?
There's many better Italians.
Yeah, and one of the protest signs read, "You eat pasta, or you eat pasta sauce from the can." Like, oh man, no. That's. Ooh.
I'm not Italian.
You can't get much more insulting than that.
Thanksgiving was an important holiday for Italians. It's like, really? Like, you deserve to be punched in the head for that, man.
Okay.
Video games.
Hades 2. Oh,
yes, video games.
I have been playing an unhealthy amount of Hades 2.
I would be playing that.
Maybe what would be a healthy amount?
It is the healthy amount. The unhealthy amount is the healthy amount.
Don't
ask questions.
An unhealthy amount of Hades 2, you should play Final Fantasy Tactics, Avilis Chronicles instead. As it's known. Which is funny, because the Avilis Chronicles is Tick.
Final Fantasy, Tick Tacks.
When do we get Tactics?
I wish somebody would fix that particular Photoshop job so that the katakana actually spelled it Tick Tacks properly.
That would be nice.
Is every time I look at it, it's like, oh, yeah, hey, funny, Final Fantasy Tic Tacs, but oh, no, but the thing right under it still says Tactics.
Mm. I'm trying to, like, I was talking to some... Oh, good.
I was just saying, Tactics Advance 1 and 2 when?
Yes, please.
I was talking to some, like, Tactics Ogre super fans and found out that the reason the spriting looks so odd in Tactics Advance in terms of like not really looking like Tactics is because it's like a bunch of the sprites are either pulled from Tactics Ogre or slightly edited from Tactics Ogre instead. So
you mean the GBA they look like Ogre?
What's that? No, not just GBA Tactics. Some of them are from GBA Tactics Ogre. Some of them are from original Tactics Ogre.
Oh wow.
Oh, that does explain a few things. Uh-huh.
Maybe, well, considering how well it's selling now, they'll probably do it eventually.
I would hope so. I like.
But I wonder if it will be a remaster or a remake with new sprites.
I mean, they didn't even give Tactics Ogre a remake with new sprites. Also, the PSP Tactics Ogre apparently ripped some sprites straight from Tactics Advance. Turn around. Reclaimed.
What's going on?
At least it'll look nicer with higher res.
Well, then they applied a bunch of shitty filters to them, so they don't really look nicer.
What's the snake eating its own tail called again?
Was there a pixel
Ouroboros?
Yes.
For the Reborn?
Yeah, for Reborn, they slapped a bunch of ugly filters on them.
I was asking if there was a physical perfect mode that they ever did.
No, I don't believe so, because I think that those sprites were, like, filtered in the development process, not after.
PC version and get a mod that, you know, cleans it up.
Yeah, you would need to, like, be modding in, entirely new assets. It's the same thing that you're going to run into with some of the art assets.
Evil East Chronicles will update it later. They'll let you play with the classic mode pixel perfect sprites.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get that.
They've shown
zero inclination towards that.
I mean, it's not bad looking, but it could be better.
I mean, I think it's kind of bad looking, but like, it's certainly not as bad as it could be.
It's not as bad as Riviera's filter.
Oh God, I don't know what happened there.
And at least you could turn that off.
Yeah. Like, that was definitely a filter being applied at runtime, whereas, like, all these other tactics sprites
or the filter for the Battle Network Legacy Collection games, which you could also turn off.
Yeah, filters applied at runtime are much easier to deal with than, like, we pre-filtered everything, and so now we can either, if we want to do both, we have to actually double the amount of art assets that are being stored. But yeah, Evil East Chronicles is like, if you just want to have a better idea of what your actions are going to do in Final Fantasy Tactics, it's very good for that. The overhead view is nice, but I wish that it was possible. You cannot actually select an action while in overhead view.
Oh, that's dumb.
It's just good to reorient the camera. That's all it's really good for.
Yeah, like, you can use it to, like, determine where exactly you're pointing at. So, like, you can select the action afterwards, but it is a little frustrating that you can't, like, hang on to it. But I think the actual MVP of it is the readable, like, turn order. Like,
that's very nice.
It was information that was always in the game. It was just, like, obnoxious to try to, like,
It took, like, a second for it to load.
Yeah, and it was just obnoxious. So, like, just having that in the corner and being able to, especially certain actions that tend to take variable amounts of time, it was much nicer.
I also like the fact that you could use autosave to do stealed rolls. or stuff like that.
But yeah, like, I'm in
but
chef.
You have to, like, not move your turn first, otherwise you have to do it at the beginning of a turn.
Mm-hmm.
Or with certain actions you can move and then do it, then reload, but not everyone.
But yeah, I'm in chapter 3. I've got, like, fucking dual wielding samurai and, like, speedy characters with, like, fucking arithmetician shit running around. So, like, the game is basically over.
Yeah.
I have to grind my new recruits, though, that are story characters, because...
Yeah, because the story characters...
They don't scale with the characters. But yeah. Thankfully, like, they level up quickly, because...
Because of how leveling actually works.
Yeah. And I could just have them beat up on my stronger guys to get even more experience.
And also, just, like, levels don't actually do that much.
Yeah, that's your equipment and skill loadout that matters more.
Because, like, levels basically just raise HP and MP. Your equipment determines basically every other... Your job and your equipment determines
basically every... I do think after every, like, 20 levels, you get, like, an additional attack point, maybe.
It's a really small number. So, like, that's actually why you can absolutely fuck yourself if you grind too early. Because random encounters... absolutely scale. So you could scale them hard enough that it's like, here is a random encounter where you're going to get just absolutely fucking brutalized by a bunch of monsters.
That's why you don't have belly of things, because like the scale enemies are still pretty weak. Mm. But you'll get the experience from fighting them because they're at a higher level.
There's some utterly fucked up random encounters in there. Like, I forget where it is, but there's the one that's like 9 monks that will just absolutely wreck your shit.
I vaguely remember that one, yes.
Like, an absolutely evil encounter, which is much less dangerous now because you can just, like, say no every time you would run into a random encounter. You can just leave.
Yeah, apparently... am I still here?
Yes.
Yeah.
We're still here.
Okay. Yeah, I must have went to sleep. But, anyways, I need to change that because I wasn't moving my mouse. But, if your characters ever get to a high level, like 99, you can run into ninjas that throw, Cloud's new Material Blade Plus weapons at you, and you just stockpile those. Right. And, like, they, like, are really good for magic users because they give you pretty gigantic bonus to your magic attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they decided that Cloud should not be completely worthless the first time when you first get him.
Yeah, he actually scales, unlike all the other story NPCs.
Yeah, he used to not scale. He used to come in at level 1, regardless of when, despite the fact that he was an endgame character. And he gets a new like, weapon all of his skills were locked behind the Materia Blade, which was nearly impossible. Yeah.
Ugh.
Well, at least they made the plus version, so that he's actually even more useful, because the Materia Blade wasn't...
Yeah, so, yeah, now he scales, and he starts with the Materia Blade. Now he has, like, a super Materia Blade you can get.
Yeah. Huh. Well, that's
and
good.
It's probably better to make him a Black Mage, because... all his limit breaker skills use magic anyway.
Yeah, but then you can't see Finishing Touch and Meteor Rain and all that.
No, those also use magic.
No, I'm just saying, like, I just want to see those. They're cool looking.
Well, I mean, they run out of magic at scaling, is what I meant.
Yeah, no, I gotcha.
So the plus makes it, you know, could actually use any of those, and you could give him, like, quick cast to get those limit breaks off faster.
Mm-hmm. They've done some other things that are just like useful for elucidating how the underlying game is meant to work. So like Ramza's mysterious squire class actually changes its name at some point around chapter 4 so that like a player who isn't paying attention will have a better understanding that there is something special about that class.
He also gets access to flails now when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yeah, I never really use those. Are they any good?
They're like hammers in FF5, where it's like, this is something that can hit really hard, but it has a way more variable damage calculation.
Hmm.
They're not amazing. They're not terrible.
So they're basically really axes.
Yeah, they're very like axes and hammers are very similar in most Final Fantasies that they're in. Flails fall in that same family of like... can theoretically do crazy damage, but, like, way more variable damage formula.
Also, every time I had ninjas, it's like, you either use knives or ninja blades, which there isn't very many ninja blades, so you're probably going to use knife.
Yeah, and there's plenty of decent knives, so it's not the worst thing in the world. If you really don't like it, you can have them have equip whatever, and then go nuts with a really strong... with a much stronger weapon.
I do like charge times across the board have been improved.
Yeah, in general, charge times have been improved. And again, you have a much better idea of if your cast is actually going to go off before the enemy just says, haha, fuck you, and leaves.
You can still cast it on unit, but enemies still tend to like notice that and try to get close to your allies so they get hit in that crossfire.
Yeah, but yeah, I've been enjoying. It's still FF Tactics for good and ill. For those who I will say as a light spoiler for those who treasured the ambiguity of the original ending, that's gone.
They changed the ending.
They made a slight change to the ending to make it like to make certain aspects of it much more explicitly clear.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Ultimately, it's mostly just the most literal interpretation that you could have had. There is one part of the ending where, like, I was not clear on what had happened, and allegedly Matsuno was particularly, like, insistent on a very specific idea of what happens.
Hmm.
But, yeah. Ultimately, I don't think the story's that interesting, so it doesn't bother me one way or another, but... I'm sure that there will be a internal fan debate about whether these changes were necessary or desirable.
One thing I kind of do like with the voice acting is, like, when you've got monster units and you've got chocobos, when you select one, he'll be like, quit! And then when you go to try to delete him and get rid of your party, he'll be like,
I'm mostly just upset that when a character, like, keels over, since I turned the sound off, I don't hear, oh!
Yeah, they should have, like, they should have made it all screams instead of having weird quotes at the end. When they die.
But, yeah, I just always appreciated the contrast of, like, the sound of someone dying, like, oh, like, this weird, like, bit crunched, oh, sound, and then, like, your character gains level, so it's like, da-da-da-da! That was very funny to me, I missed that. I'm generally fine with all of the additions from War of the Lions being kicked to the curb. I, in fact, think it was incredibly lame to be like, ah, oh, you know what the kids like? They like killing Argath. We're bringing him back so you can kill him again. But, like, that's just, like, nakedly fan service and not helping anyone. So I'm fine with that being gone. Dark Knight class. That wasn't a subquest. That was required.
Oh, you had to kill Argath the second time?
Yeah, they brought him back as Hell Knight Argath, and then you had to kill him again.
So what battle did he show up in?
He got, like, his own, like, an additional battle. I forget where, but it was, like, required, and it was just, oh, why? It was lame.
They put it that in there specifically, so he'd be like, yes, I get to kill this bastard again.
Yeah, like, that was it.
It
was
just, this guy.
Yeah, like, this is Argath, to me, is not a heel that I want to see, like, beaten up. He is a guy I just want to not be on my screen anymore.
He's that sucky.
It's pretty bad.
So, and just, like, I don't know, like, there's also just, like, in general to me, just this feeling of desperate, like, yeah, the fans will love it. You get to kill this guy again. And it's like, I don't...
If they could never figure out how to add Dark Knight or Onion Knight to the game, maybe modders could at least, like, work those abilities into a character.
Yeah, I mean, they mostly just had the same ability. Like, Dark Knight was basically just a slightly expanded version of Gafgarion's class, so it's not like but, like, it was, like, both Onion Knight and Dark Knight were, like, extremely gimmicky classes, just because
Dark Knight's basically, like, his moveset and only his moveset, so it's like he's, like, the opposite to Aegreus, but, like, TG Sid has both their movesets, so it's kind of pointless.
Yeah, and broadly, like, getting Dark Knight was such a fucking task. Like, I was explaining this to my brother when I was explaining why they'd cut it. And it was just like, yeah, so to do that, you had to master, like, half of the classes in the game. Well, you didn't have to master them. You had to get them to level 8. You had to get, like, half the classes in the game to level 8. And kill enemies, not just, like, the character had to not just have killed an enemy, but had to sit around and wait for them to turn into a crystal or a treasure chest.
Mm.
And that is, frankly, just encouraging boring gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is just encouraging things that you typically don't want the player to sit around doing. So this was just bad. And, like, Onion Knight as a gimmick class is always just like, oh, you grind everything else and then Onion Knight gets stupid. And in this case, this was I believe literally the only benefit to
from mastering every class is a class that can equip anything is ultra powerful.
Yep, it's basically like it ends up turning into like an FF5 freelancer, but yeah, it was also the only thing that rewarded you for quote unquote mastering a class, because like getting a class to level 8 is not mastering it. Buying all its abilities are mastering it, and a lot of classes have a bunch of abilities that are simply not that useful.
Yeah. Getting a mimic.
They needed some sort of capstone.
Mm.
Like they needed some sort of capstone ability.
Like, yeah, none of them have those. You can always just buy the abilities that are actually good. There's been some rebalancing of JP. Like
teleport now 3000.
It does not fully reflect either the initial English or Japanese versions, which did have rebalances between them. It's a secret third set, but at least Fly isn't 5000 JP anymore. I think that was the most expensive ability in the game by far. It was baffling.
Did they fix the translation on some of those ability names? Because some of those were just laughable.
Like Bizen Boat instead of Bizafune.
I'm thinking of stuff like the Dancer class, aside from Fly being a very bad mistranslation of Leap, they also had Wiz Nibus.
Oh, that hasn't existed since the PS1 translation. The PSP translation, we translated good, all good, of those.
Good. Okay. Yeah. Or anything with a draconic ability, having the translation misunderstand breath as bracelet. Yeah.
Stone bracelet.
Yikes.
See, I haven't played any version of this since PlayStation, so I'm only fair, aware of
when
the
you try to use those bracelet abilities, it kind of has a bracelet-like attack zone. So I can maybe see how they went with that.
I would imagine they just had no context for it at all.
Yeah.
Like they probably
that was
words.
Pretty common in the 90s. I mean, if you look at some of the, I remember like Final Fantasy VI, some of Setzer's some of his roulette abilities, but slot machine abilities. Very obviously were supposed to be poker references, but nobody realized that one of them was flush and not flash.
Prismatic flash. But yeah, they retranslated all those. My kingdom for a version that is as like aware of the that is as like you know accurate in terms of like all the abilities and what they're like and names are consistent as War of the Lions, without like it's dialed up to 11 like Shakespeare in the Park fucking translation where Maluda is talking about supping on naught but broth of bean.
Broth of bean.
Fucking hate it. Like every time half of these characters open their mouth, I'm like, I don't even care what you're trying to say. Shut the fuck up.
You old Englished too hard.
Like this is like I said, this I think I joked about this last episode, but I was just like, this half of them are talking like they're about to be told that they will not be, that they are the third understudy in Shakespeare in the Park. It's just awful to read some of these, because it's just like the entire intent of the line has been subsumed in the fact that they could not like just let the line be something a human would say. But I need to use the restroom. Talk amongst yourselves.
But I don't wanna.
Too bad.
It's funny seeing people talk about builds about the new version of the game, but like they're still referring to old terms. Like magic boost is called arcane strength, because I guess that's what War of the Lions or the original game said it was called.
And Smoke and Joe Gamer is here, but until the end of the month you may call me Spooky Joe Gamer.
Ooh, spooky. What's the spooky game right now?
I'm playing Hades 2. It actually is pretty spooky, you know, if you think about it. I don't know.
If you think about it.
And I just ate some meatloaf, and now I'm ready to podcast.
Beans.
Yeah, I know. And every time you guys say onion night, I just think,
onions.
I want a Dark Souls game that's just Sigurd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to play as him.
But you can sort of play as him in Elden Ring Nightreign. Well, somebody who looks like him. As well as Solaire.
It's not the same.
Yeah, I still haven't played that game. I don't want to do co-op. I don't care.
I got the Xbox version for like $25, but now I don't have Xbox Live anymore, so I have to play solo.
Yeah, that'll get you.
Which thankfully has been rebalanced since its launch, but it's still going to be kind of tough doing it by my own. I might just buy a used copy of PS5 for me and my friend, and then we can play online.
There you go.
He's never going to pick it up on his own. I remember when games used to be giftable on consoles. Why haven't they fixed that?
When were they giftable on consoles?
I think Microsoft let you do that, but Sony never did, and Nintendo used to.
Really?
This about giftable? Like, there was a pilot program for giftable Xbox Live games that never became like a full thing. You could gift things on the Wii.
Internet pioneer the Wii.
The Wii.
Wii, monsieur.
So where was the giftable discussion coming from?
No.
Elden Ring Nightreign.
Yeah.
So
I'm just going to buy a physical copy and just mail it to them instead.
How are we feeling about watching like the physical presence of Xbox in shops like disappear before our very eyes?
Yeah, I heard about that.
I was going to say that happened to me like years ago.
Man, that kind of never was there in the first place.
Like Walmart kind of has a section, but like it's slowly getting smaller.
It's being eliminated in a lot of stores now.
That's price.
Like, Microsoft honestly hasn't cared about physical games in, like, 4 or 5 years. But they absolutely, the problem is that if you don't care about physical games, your hardware is not going to be sold in a lot of places.
Yep.
Also, there's too many games coming out, and I would like many more dollars so that I could purchase them all.
We forgot. Yeah. I don't think we brought up Ninja Gaiden 4 when we were discussing those yesterday.
I brought up Ninja Gaiden 4 just long enough to say, like, I'm waiting for it to come out on something and people to tell me if it's actually good or not.
Oh, yeah. That is a smart idea, given past Ninja Gaiden releases.
Listen, Ninja Gaiden 3 and Yaiba Ninja Gaiden Z are two of the worst action games I have ever ever experienced. So, you know,
you play
it's well enough, but like if I played,
played, but I did not play Z. I just experienced it by looking at it and being like, I hate this.
I played Z for a bit, and it's not good.
It's not good, and
I want a free kill on Yaiba Twitter himself. Because I made a right answer to a question. It was the same people that also gave me the Wii U copy of DuckTales Remastered game.
Woo! I know it's a decent game. It was made by Spark Unlimited and directed by the creator of Lara Croft.
Oh, no.
Ninja Gaiden Z is a fucked up video game.
Oh, no.
But there's a very real argument to be made that Toby Gard has never worked on a good video game, so.
But why do they keep hiring him?
Because Lara Croft is very, very popular.
Yeah.
But, like, Tomb Raider 1, bad game.
That boobs.
He then made a game called Galleon for the Xbox that is I can't quite describe how fucking ugly this game is, so I'm just going to post its box art.
Okay.
Inexplicably published by Atlas in the US. I don't know what happened there. Everyone has to go look at this.
Do we have to?
I can't. I'm fighting Kronos, yeah. And if I pause it, he's going to yell at me.
But what's cool is if you pause, like each fight, when you pause, he'll say something different, which is cool.
Oh, I found out something cool. I saw a random video on YouTube. Apparently, if you turn the music volume down, the sirens will yell at you for doing so.
Wow. That's very funny. I love it.
Or if you pause during Kronos' fight, he'll unpause the game. Just to tell you can.
Oh my god. Yeah. Kudos, Supergiant Games. Kudos.
Is the game easier than fighting Hades in Hades 1?
That is a complicated question. I would say yes. But there's also two different runs. Like, the run down to Kronos, I think,
so I feel like is I can never easier. Beat Hades, because I get to Hades, and then everything goes to hell.
Yeah,
And it might have to do with the fact that the gameplay is just not suited for me. I mean, I'm more of a mid-range to far-range player, and Zagreus, regardless of whatever build you have, is more melee-focused.
Yeah, this one definitely has a very good range weapon, and even like there's an axe, but it has a ridiculously long ranged attack and some really good builds you can do with that, so this game will probably be more suited to your style. That said, like the other boss in the game doing the run up to Olympus is a lot harder.
I also felt like there were very few opportunities to get healed in that game, so which made it harder than it needed to be.
I mean, that's kind of intentional, but there's more of everything in this game, including ways to heal and ways to become more overpowered. And there's also, if you want, I don't remember if this was originally in the first game or not, but they have like the story mode to make it easier if you just want to experience the story.
That God mode was in the game, but like I had that on and it was cranked up to max. Maybe if I had like at least one or two more Death Defiances, I could have probably done it, but they only give you three in that game.
Yeah, this, I think, you can have like five or six. And there's more ways to refresh them, so.
Yeah, because like the other opportunity was like having your max amount of Death Defiances plus Skelly to give you an extra one.
Yeah. You have Skelly singing this. You can get three, like you got an original game, and then there's the cat.
Yeah,
and if you get the right boon, then you can get an extra one. So you can have six Death Defiants. Although that's only on the Olympus route. But I think Kronos is easier than Hades, generally speaking. But again, if you're actually looking to beat the game, there's a whole other run, which is definitely harder than first game.
It'd be interesting if they go back to Hades and like let you play as Milanoe.
That would be cool.
Or add Zagreus to the second game.
That would be cool. Very cool. But I can't imagine trying to balance all that.
Yeah, so I think Hades 2 has better keepsakes. And the whole Arcana card system, I think, just gives a better variety of builds than the upgrades.
I basically gave up on that game and just watched the endings online.
I mean, this game, like, mechanically is much, much better. Like, there's a lot more depth to, like, every mechanic in the game. Story-wise, it's a very different story than the first game.
Like, I feel like in the game, the times I replayed through it, like, I had seen all the story interactions between all the other characters at that point.
Yeah.
And it was just, you need to fight Hades and continue the plot.
I think you have to beat it a certain number of times to even get like the ending. Although what was nice about that game is to get before you roll credits, the game kind of gives you a break and you don't actually have to fight Hades. He's which is cool. No such luck in this game.
No.
To roll credits, you have to beat the boss.
Yeah, and it took me like 6 tries to beat Kronos the first time, but now I can consistently beat him almost every run. So,
Waking Phrase learned! Waking Phrase learned!
Oh, that means you get the Hidden Incantation?
Bounties of the Infinite Abyss. I have the materials.
Oh, you were right. That is a really awful looking box art.
Yeah, those are just the renders that they use in game. The characters really do just like. They're just brutally unpleasant designs. It's like some of the worst, like the some of the worst molded action figures you've ever seen in your life are all are all on the shittiest adventure you've ever played. Like the controls are just absolutely baffling. Okay. Terrible game.
I can't really read the text, but I can see the word Lara Croft on the front.
Yep, they were banking on you caring that Toby Gard had made Lara Croft, and then like you see this character, and like Jesus, someone else needed to make these.
Yeah, when Conan O'Brien did Clueless Gamer on one of Tomb Raider games, he's like, Lara, no, your name's Laura. Say your name right. That's great.
I forgot.
I've had like next test people, like I had like a like Australian friend once ask me, like, why do you always call her Laura? And it's like, Lara isn't really a name in America.
Right.
So, one of my foreign coworkers in apparently where she was from, Lara was actually more common, and her name was spelled with a U, so it was Laura. And so she made a point of being sure that everybody knew that it was supposed to be pronounced one way instead of another, and here I am thinking, okay, now I need to remember which way was actually supposed to be the right way when I'm defaulting to the one that's actually correct. And it's just, I get mistaken more often now.
Whoops.
Okay. Which is life.
C'est la vie.
Shikatakanai, yes.
Right now in Hades 2, I'm just doing a psychic leash build. So.
Oh, so you get a whip? Cool.
There's one of the aspects of the witch's staff. What happens is if you have a familiar, then when you use your cast, then you and the familiar both put one down, and then it creates like a laser beam between you that zaps enemies. It's really cool.
Oh, a laser tether.
Kind of like the Zeus electric ability.
Sort of.
But probably better somehow.
Of course, you have to get perks that power up your cast, and then you gotta, you know, time it right. So far all it's offered me is the one from, what's her name? Aphrodite, that does damage over time, and then I got the one that expands it over time, and then got another one that gives me mana back every time I use it. So...
this pretty game cool. Is really good.
I know, there's just so many different builds you can do.
Laser tether, I love astral chains.
And then the axe is incredibly slow, but then you get Aspect of Thanatos, and when you upgrade it, it gets faster, and then it's actually usable. Yeah. Oh, I'm fighting Charybdis again, and this time I have the hex that morphs enemies into sheep, and you can turn his tentacles into sheep. That's great.
That's not fair.
Yeah, most bosses are immune to it.
Apparently not boss minions.
Nope. In this instance, no.
We need more crew for Tron chicken turning things in games type of deals.
Chicken. Go for a nice chicken sandwich right now.
Chicken sandwich. Yeah. Okay.
Sandwich.
Oh, and that hex can turn all of his tentacles into sheep at the same time. Because it bounces up to 5 targets. Yeah.
I mean, unless they've changed a bit from mythology, I'm pretty sure it's a her.
Yeah. Oh. Charybdis?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, alright. Could be.
And granted, if she's anything more than just basically a like a giant stomach on the bottom of the sea that's constantly pushing water in and out, then they've made a lot of changes anyway.
She looks like an octopus with an anus on top of her head. Makes me think of the flag in Community. E pluribus anus. Yeah.
Do you get to fight a kraken in this game?
I think that is the kraken, isn't it?
Sure.
Okay.
I was going to say, the only time the kraken is part of Greek mythology is if you're watching the original Clash of the Titans.
What about the remake?
We do not speak of the remake.
We don't, do we? Oh, okay. Well, then you should avoid what I'm about to put in the Discord, then.
Sorry, but nothing can beat Harryhausen Claymation. Oh, sorry.
I mean, it's true. That movie was pretty dog shit.
That reminds me, I still need to watch Naked Gun.
Ah, oh, yes.
Also, Liam Neeson's really young in this movie. Comparatively to where he is now, anyway.
It's true. We should probably talk about video games. That might be a good idea.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
The other game I've been playing is Dragon Quest VI, and like I've been reminded just how mean-spirited of a game that is. I mentioned this on Blue Sky, but like, do you want this cool sword? Fuck you.
Yeah.
And make me way to make me hate the Trunks knockoff Terry. You get him so late that like he's not even useful as a party member because you build all the other ones up.
Hmm.
It's like you're the backup, and I probably won't even use you as a backup. I'll use Amos because I got him earlier. Or hell, I'll use Gawain, the slime knight guy.
Yeah, I don't think I ever actually beat that game, but I did read the manga.
Who wouldn't use a slime knight, though?
I wouldn't use a slime. No, that's
it does very much feel like the prototype for what Seven would become.
Yeah,
a grim portent of the future.
Oh God!
Man, Seven's a good game. You're just lame.
Yeah, you tell him. You tell him what for.
I know it has a big hump to get over, but once you get past that hump, it's better. It's like one of the few instances where that you could say that and it actually be true.
No, I like true, it yeah. as it is.
Yeah.
But like, I am kind of
upset. I liked it as it was on 3DS.
Yeah,
so I'm kind of upset of the cuts for the remake that's coming next year because
yeah.
I miss my casino.
I think that Dragon Quest and Star Ocean are just Final Fantasy's lower budget cousins.
Dragon Quest existed before Final Fantasy.
I was going to say, no, there's a way to Dragon Quest.
I would say that Star Ocean is actually the budget release.
Yeah.
Yeah, Star Ocean is low budget. Dragon Quest, nah. That gets plenty of money.
Okay. I just don't play much of Dragon Quest, I don't know.
Maybe you should.
I should remedy that, absolutely.
And it doesn't look like your characters will change costumes when they get their classes, but they'll probably be costumes for those classes at some point.
Joe, do you not own a copy of Dragon Quest XI?
I do.
Oh, okay. Damn.
And I have Dragon Quest Monsters, which is basically Pokemon Dragon Quest. And
I'm only going off what I saw of the preview that they had during the initial reveal, the 10 minutes of footage. And it's probably because they're multi-class and they probably have it set up that way so they don't ruin the surprise. So I could be wrong.
Mm. Well, we shall see whenever it comes out for real. When is it supposed to come out?
I hope that you get the chance to get your
Seven Reimagined.
Get your characters' nicknames, because I'm going to rename Rough Chewy just to spite them.
Rude.
That's rough.
But yeah, that's That's fuck off. That's February. There's too much Dragon Quest happening. Dragon Quest 1 and 2 comes out this month. Wheels and I nearly died.
Oh, God, this...
Yeah, it's coming out the same day as Tales of Xillia Remaster. And
but that I don't care about.
Ninja Gaiden 4 is also the day before.
Yeah, I'm waiting on that one.
And there's like one more game I'm not remembering. Maybe two more. If I'm thinking,
I mean, Great Children comes out at the end of the month.
Zelda's a week after.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Hyrule Warriors: Age of Imprisonment.
And then Metroid's a week after that.
No, Metroid's December.
The month after.
The Metroid Amiibos are coming out in November, which is weird.
Oh. Yeah, I think that at one point they were hoping to slot that in for November. So, let's see. I was going to check what I care about for the rest of October. So we have Once Upon a Katamari. That matters to me as a sicko. we have Pokemon Legends Z Alpha or ZA.
I'll probably get that later because I still want to play Scarlet and Violet and Marcius, although I'm probably waiting on because Arceus might get a Switch 2 patch or whatever later.
Uh-huh. I feel like if they were going to do that, they'd have already done it. But so yeah, Legends DA, then fucking yeah, Once Upon a Katamari, Stray Children.
Oh yeah, that's also the
30th. Yeah, yep. DQ 1 and 2. Like that is enough for my like that is a lot of RPGs. A concerning number.
Mm.
I can definitely wait on Gaiden though, because I want to play the other ones and it'll get knocked down in price like quickly.
Yeah. But yeah, what else do I have on my like eShop pre-orders? Oh yeah, and P3 Reload, because I'm trying to I want to support Atlas on Switch 2, so
need to manifest.
I kind of don't want to bother with third parties until they like do physical releases properly.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath. I'm just like,
or I'll just wait for it to sale, because if I'm gonna have to buy it digitally, I might as well just wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm willing to deal with it. I'm still like baffled that like of all companies like Square Enix is doing good on the pricing. Like I'm still baffled that FF7 Intergrade is $40. I was expecting them to try to push that way higher.
Mm.
And you get a pack of Magic cards, right?
Yes. You do get a pack of Final Fantasy Magic cards, which
that's awesome.
Incredibly funny.
You too can get a copy of the Utterly Broken card, VV.
Yeah.
Only in standard, FYI.
So I was going to say, he probably got banned by now. As good as you say he is.
But he might be banned by January. And like, if you... And as a sweetener, if you don't have... If you're getting the digital version, they give you the original FF7 as a bonus if you purchase... Intergrade. So that's like, you know, you aren't getting the Magic cards, but you are getting something of similar value.
I might buy the Switch 2 card double pack of 7 and 8, and so I can sell my PlayStation copies.
That's what I did when they came out in Asia years ago.
I appreciate those just for every time they re-release those on a cartridge, someone brings back the FF7 ad that was like someone better hand all those people making cartridge systems a blindfold and a cigarette. One of the most deranged ads ever, because it's like, this is not even like a, like, this is such an openly hostile ad. It's very strange. But, yeah. There's a lot of games. I'm also curious Capcom's announced that like RE9 pre-orders start like right before RE9 pre-orders start right before Halloween, but I'm kind of curious to see when those go up, because there remains a rumor that for whatever, like, in terms of internal store listings, the Switch 2 version was $10 cheaper, and I'm curious about this.
Huh.
It's okay. Why would it be?
Like, I would appreciate that. I will take a $10 cheaper Resident Evil 9, but...
Maybe because it wouldn't run as well as the other ones? Would that be
They've
why?
Never done that. I've never made that in the past.
It's the opposite. Yeah. They make the games more expensive on the Switch, too.
Yeah, like, the only thing I can think of is it's their, like... It's them doing it because it's a key card.
Hmm.
And, like, if key cards made for cheaper games, I think that would be at least somewhat ameliorating. So, I mean...
The one good thing I think would be great for key cards existing is my library recently got a game section because they added an expansion, the beginning of the year, and it got patched up around the middle of the year. So they finally finished it. And while their selection's small, they do offer currently two Switch 2 games, and one of them was Hogwarts Legacy U, but the other one was Breath of the Wild, and they'll definitely get more. So I could see that be a way of me playing games without having to buy anything.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate the, like, you know, I'm not in love with key cards. I accept it, why they exist, especially like, oh yeah, I'm not sure if we discussed this on an episode, but... a retailer just fucking listed Assassin's Creed Shadows on Switch 2.
Yeah.
I'm not in love with them. I get why they exist. I'm going to continue.
The Yuka Replay Lee on the Switch 2. Once they get the 60 FPS patch, or maybe be out by the time it gets released physically.
I would suspect that there will definitely be the performance patch that they've promised by that point. But that's a wonderful game. If you were disappointed by Yooka-Laylee when it came out 8 years ago, you should go back and try this. Like, this is actually very nice.
It's great.
I need to play the Impossible Lair.
Oh, that one's great.
Yeah, that's neat. Game. Yeah.
But I was always more like interested in 3D platformers, not because like I don't love 2D platformers, but indie 2D platformers have existed since indie games existed. So there was less enchantment to me. Like, indie 3D platformers have really come into their own in the intervening time, but like Replay-Lee is very. We have fixed the feeling of sort of emptiness of these worlds by looking at Super Mario Odyssey and being like, we can do that. And they did, in fact, do that very well.
Yes. Well, that's what we were talking about last night. Like, so many 3D platformers have come out since the original Yooka-Laylee, and it's like they've clearly been inspired by it, and that's good. Like, just from playing the demo, it's like, this feels more like Sackboy, A Big Adventure, or Mario 3D World to me, you know?
Yeah, I would definitely say Odyssey, especially with how a lot of the collectibles have been handled.
Is anybody ready for Super Meat Boy 3D World?
I'm so baffled that exists.
What? Is that a real thing?
Yeah, no, they've been showing a 3D Super Meat Boy for a while, and it's like, I don't quite get what this...
I don't know if I understand this.
I thought you were joking.
No, Super Meat Boy Forever was not good because it's just an auto runner, you know?
Yeah.
Has Ed McMillan been involved with any of the ones past the original?
No, he was only involved in the original.
But then, isn't he still working on that weird cat mating breeding game?
It's called Mutants.
Yeah, Eugenics. Yeah, that keeps coming back and then disappearing.
Okay.
I mean, I'm curious to play that game, but I'm not paying for it at launch. At least.
What, Mugenix?
No,
or the 3D,
the 3D one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does anybody know any good deals on Astrobot? I haven't picked it up yet.
Astrobot.
I assume that's gone on sale a few times.
Black Friday is coming up though. So
I don't know, but it's worth every penny at 60 or whatever it is.
I believe it was a $60 title.
I love that game.
My problem is I just don't sit down and play PS5 games enough, which is why I have not bothered to pick it up yet. I'm still kind of hoping that it finds its way to like PC.
It's not on PC yet. I thought it was.
No,
it's not. Like that is like I would have thought that if you were making a like, you know, I'm sure that the idea has been kicked around. There's like two competing forces here. The first is that it does seem to have like, you know, moved the system a bit for people that might not otherwise have purchased a PS5 because like, you know, why would you purchase a PS5 if you weren't here for like shooting people in the head? On the other hand, it is also broadly like so nakedly an advertisement for PlayStation as a concept that it makes sense to try to sell it to people who don't already own one.
Yeah.
Excited for Wolverine.
Like, what was that?
Who's excited for Wolverine though?
Like I might have been excited for Wolverine if they had like announced if it had just been announced, but like they announced that thing 5 years ago and then they finally released footage and it's like this is exactly the game I thought it would be 5 years ago. There is nothing surprising about this other than, oh god, I don't actually like seeing like fucking like something like this horrific amount of gore on like classic yellow outfit Wolverine. Like it's just like, oh, this is just off-putting.
Do you think maybe that was like a stipulation Disney made?
I don't think so. I don't think Disney like would, because like they showed plenty of like footage where he's not in the yellow outfit. Like,
hopefully it's like a skin that you can select and it's not a thing you have to wear.
I would suspect you'll be able to change skins, but I would suspect that the default skin will oftentimes be the classic yellow outfit. It's just like, oh god, I'd rather wear
the brown and dark yellow one.
Like if you're gonna, yeah, I just feel like if you're gonna do like the, it feels like the pitch for it definitely feels like someone when they first pitched it had probably just gotten finished watching Logan.
Yeah. I did get that sense from it, yeah.
Like, you know, because if you're doing like the just like a story that's about like, you know, Wolverine being, you know, this guy who's seen everything and been everywhere, but you're not doing, but you're kind of starting a franchise instead of ending it, so you're not doing the full old man Logan. But you're doing that whole, like, you know, the solo Wolverine, like, this undying killing machine dude that just keeps seeing people die around him. It's just like, this feels like the thing you do if you've just seen the Marigold film. But, and then I went back and looked at, okay, when did that film come out? And when did they announce this game? Okay, yeah, that's definitely something that they had just gotten finished watching. But yeah, like, and God only knows how much it's changed since then, just by dint of the fact that, like, you know, this clearly wasn't in full production for a very long time, because, you know, there's no way that, like, Insomniac is a very...
I want Insomniac to make another Ratchet game.
I'm sure they're working on one, but...
Yeah, that's what I want. Like, I'll play Wolverine, it does look neat, but it's like, I want Ratchet and Clank at this point.
I just want a Spider-Man game with Silk, like I was promised.
Yeah, you're not getting that. I'm sorry.
She's definitely going to be in Spider-Man 3. It's going
to
happen.
There will be three Spider-Persons to play.
Yes.
The thing that's wild to me about. The thing that's wild to me about Spider-Man is just like the knowledge, like Spider-Man 2 cost like 4 times as much to make as Miles Morales, and it's like, why? What happened?
Yeah, basically the same engine.
Like, it's the same technology. It's, but like, I think, you know, you, the infamous line that got pulled from that Insomniac hack was like, was anyone able to see where that money went? In was anyone who purchased the game able to see where that money went?
No.
And the answer is no. I can't think of a single human being that was able to look at that and be like, yep, I can absolutely see how they spent 4 times as much on that.
All particle effects and dust motes, basically.
Like, I'd imagine a lot of it actually probably got... I'd imagine a lot of it was actually probably money spent on significantly going over the New York map, and then the rest of it was spent on Sandman.
Who's not even in the game that long?
He's there for that opening, and it's like, this is too much.
This is unnecessary.
But yeah, like, a kind of a neat set piece in the abstract, and I can see how it ended up being made, but like, actually playing it is deeply confusing to start the game on.
Yeah,
but, it's... Yeah. Fingers crossed that Spider-Man 3 somehow doesn't cost twice as much as Spider-Man 2. Insomniac as a company was generally one of those companies that traditionally made things on a much lower budget than a lot of other AAA development. So this was a very strange thing to have happened. Speaking of leaks... Someone allegedly leaked a whole bunch of Pokemon stuff, but all the stuff I saw was just like, yep, there will be a new Pokemon gen, and then 4 years later there will be another new Pokemon gen.
Wow.
It's like, wow, all the amazing news that we could have guessed from.
Also a remake of a game of some description. They said multi-region remake, so that probably means a remake of the first two games?
The regions listed in that would require it to be the first four games. Like, that thing listed 4 different regions in it. It was very strange. But we shall see.
You mean Kanto, Johto, Hoenn, and Sinnoh?
Yeah, those were all listed.
I mean, that's Japan, basically.
Yeah, like, here's just Pokemon Japan.
Nice.
I mean, it's Japan, and it's also, I mean, effectively, what, however, 32 gyms?
Yeah, 32 right. Gyms. Like, wow. I'd play that. I'd be all over
that. I mean, it'd be kind of cool to see. I mean, hey, I mean, go full, just go for it and have, create the Orange Islands for Okinawa. Go for it. I mean, they only existed in the anime, so let's just change that.
Fuck it. Who cares?
Yeah.
We're already going through everything else, but yeah, it'd be neat to see that. Allegedly, some budgets were also leaked, and unsurprisingly, Pokemon games are very cheap, like in terms of how much budget is actually assigned to them.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But I think the bigger
next gen games that Game Freak is working on.
I think the bigger thing to note, just from this, is the implication of 4 years between gens, not 3 years. Mm.
It's probably healthier at this point.
Oh, absolutely. But you know, it's not surprising to me that seems to be the new norm that they're chasing now is 4 years. Yeah, but you know, there's not a lot to go off of from that. I mean, like, yep, we all knew that more Pokemon was coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what was even leaked at this point?
Like, there was references to another Legends game and where that would be set.
Okay.
Nothing terribly surprising, but yeah, this would be mapping them out through 2030.
Fair enough.
But yeah,
I would assume that most companies are thinking at least 5 years ahead. You know?
Oh, if you're making a AAA game, you are thinking at least to 2030.
Yeah, maybe you're thinking 8 years ahead even.
Yeah.
I mean, this is Nintendo we're talking about. They're definitely thinking ahead.
But yeah, any of those companies that had live service games for the PS5 canceled, they weren't put to work on things that would only launch on PS5. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, the rumors now are like PS6 in 2027. I don't need one, but maybe that's for someone.
What exactly would that even offer?
8K? I don't know. I can't, like, this would be the only 8K content in town. I can't think of any place else you can get 8K content.
No.
You play Dragon
as it turns Dogma out, 2
at PC level specs, I guess.
It'll give you so many frames per second, your brain will explode.
Brain per second?
Your brain is going to... Cool, I think I broke his brain.
But yeah, allegedly PS6 and next Xbox, whatever that ends up being called, and whatever that ends up being, are both allegedly for 2027. No one should be terribly surprised by that piece of information. 7 years is kind of the new cycle. It's wild to think about, just because like AAA has grown so overbloated that that both Sony and Microsoft essentially pissed this entire generation down their legs.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of PS5 only games from Sony. You've got Returnal. And re-release the other thing that Housemarque is making. What was that?
Re-releases don't count. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. Remember they remastered Horizon Zero Dawn?
Yeah.
They did, and I got it for $10.
Did Forbidden West come out on PS4 as well?
Yes.
Okay. Some of the DLC did not. Ghost of Yote did just come out and did not come out on PS4. I'm trying to think. I am desperately trying to think. God of War Ragnarok came out on PS4. I think Microsoft has been promising that new Fable for 7 years now.
It's never going to happen.
It might happen. Playground Games hasn't been murdered.
I found a Wikipedia page with PlayStation 5 only games. There's 18 titles listed.
Oh my god.
That is actually more than I expected.
Let's go through this. Astrobot.
Yep. Okay, yeah.
Astro's Playroom.
Okay, fuck you. That was a pack in.
C-Smash VRS New Dimension.
Fuck off.
Our game sounds like.
Death Stranding 2 on the beach.
Okay, that is currently, yeah.
It might be time exclusive, though.
Oh, that's going to come to everything eventually.
But... Dimitrios the Big Cynical Adventure Replastered.
What fuck are you talking about?
That's a VR game.
No clue. Demon Souls Remake. Destruction All Stars.
Stop making up games.
I'm not making any of these up.
I refuse to believe that these are real.
Ghost of Yotei.
Yeah, Ghost of Yotei, that's an actual game.
Okay, now here's some that aren't even out. Intergalactic the Heretic Prophet.
That's the next Naughty Dog game.
Yeah, Marvel's Wolverine.
I have no desire to hear more of Neil Druckmann's thoughts about anyone's culture or religion, so I'm out.
Neptunia Reverse, which is kind of just a remaster of the remake of the first Neptunia game.
How many times can you re-release Neptunia 1?
Which the Rebirth
forever.
Is Rebirth and Rebirth are basically the same game, so it's basically not even exclusive at this point.
Yeah, but it sort of counts. I don't know if it's
because it has like exclusive to the platform features.
Yeah,
that's like it.
Paper Beast Enhanced Edition.
What that is.
What, this came out on PS4. This Wikipedia page is lying to me.
Okay. Like, technically, the remaster, the enhanced edition only came out.
Oh, whatever. Project Ginny Way.
Wait, Eric Trahi made this. Fuck you.
The hell is this? Kangmo Game Entertainment? An upcoming action role playing game developed by Kangmo Game Entertainment.
Hmm. Never heard of them.
Is this part of their Project China Hero thing?
Probably.
No, I don't think so.
Quantum Error.
Chinese.
Quantum Error.
That's what I'm getting between the ears as you make this list.
It's got like a typical first person shooter cover. But
it was
the
made
guy,
by Team Kill Media.
The guy has like a fire hat on.
If I haven't heard of it, it's probably a VR game.
It is not.
Uh-oh.
No, this is a normal video.
It's an action horror game developed and published by Team Kill Media.
Can I just say that Wikipedia is listing this and its alleged sequel, Quantum State?
Oh, yeah.
With no further information.
R-Type Final 3 Evolved.
That was baffling to me. Final 2 was patched into being Final 3.
Yeah.
And then Final 3 Evolved is allegedly different.
See, and let's see. The next one is Saros, which is Housemarque.
That's the Housemarque game.
And finally, Silent Hill was Short Message.
Yeah, I somehow didn't hear anyone talk about that until Silent Hill F came out. Allegedly, Silent Hill F is quite good, but
this is an incredibly depressing list. Like, the Switch 2 is going to have more exclusives
also,
than this
if you like the, if you play Silent Hill F, you like the story, you should check out Ryukishi Yosefin's other works, Higurashi and Umineko.
Listen, everyone needs to simply be aware that Ryukishi Yosefin's name is a dumb reference to fucking Final Fantasy V.
Yeah. Huh.
Dragon Knight Lena.
Oh, God.
Oh, I got him. I got Typhon again. I fucked up this run so bad, and I still got Typhon. Wow.
It happens sometimes.
That's why I haven't been very talkative. I've been concentrating on the game.
Meanwhile, me and Wheels have been staring in horror at this list.
This is the...
listening. I'm like, seriously? It's never ending, is it?
Seriously.
Oh, it's over. We are out.
Yeah. Seriously, the Switch 2 is going to have more exclusives in a year.
Yeah.
Because Nintendo doesn't port their things around.
Yeah. Like, this is fucking trash garbage system.
I just looked it up. So Intergalactic the Heretic Prophet, which is Naughty Dog's first straight-up PS5 game, just to put that one in perspective, does not have a release year. Like, that is probably a 2027 video game.
That'll probably come out like a month before the PS6, and then it'll get a remaster immediately.
Yeah.
That's the pattern that I saw with Last of Us 1 and 2. Yeah.
Yeah, that checks out.
But yeah, I have no desire to hear whatever Neil Druckmann has to say in something called Intergalactic the Heretic Prophet.
Ooh, yeah.
But that is a video game with three directors?
Oh, God, why?
That's a game with a name that sounds like it came from a late 90s anime localization.
Oh, man, Fireminer spouting words of wisdom in the chat. The internet may be a limitless repository of knowledge, but for a lot of dumb and lazy people, it's only good for teaching them how to speak like a smart person. And mostly not even that.
I've still never managed it.
I just saw a post from the Quest 64 official. Wow, that guy's unhinged.
He's awesome.
Yeah, Quest 64 official. Like, they're not doing a bit. I'll just put it that way. They're not doing a bit.
Oh, God.
Nope. That's what makes it so awesome.
I like that account so much.
Very, very strange account. Okay, yeah, that's just a dick and balls.
Is 64 even on Nintendo Switch Online yet?
Nope.
No.
Oh, no, it is not.
No.
I don't think it ever will be. Oh. Oh, that's right, Wheels. I got Gigaros, so now I can do Disintegration of Monstrosity.
There you go.
Wow.
You're almost done with the game. I'm just kidding. You're almost done with rolling credits, and then there's more.
That's fine. Once I roll credits, at least I can take a break.
Can you, though? Look at me. I rolled credits like
a week
probably
ago.
40 hours of this game ago.
Wow.
How Silk Song works. Like, yeah, you can beat Act 2 and get an ending, but there's a true ending for Act 3.
You have
to actually do the steps required to make Act 3 happen.
I was good after Act 1. I'm all set with that game.
Where do I get entropy for Dissolution of Time?
You have to do the other one.
Okay.
You have to do Disintegration Monstrosity. It gives you entropy.
Oh, so now I have to go fight Typhon again?
Yes.
Okay, and then okay, gotcha. Well, I didn't think I was going to get him on that run, but I did, so yippee. Cool. All right, well, let me shut this off for now. That's what I've been doing this whole time. I've been just doing this one run where I thought I fucked it up, and then I won.
And then you didn't.
I won, yeah. But then you win, and it's like, well, now you got to win again and again. It's like, all right.
And 'tis the nature of the game.
Yeah, so, well, my brother came over today to hang out, and he hasn't played Hades 2 yet, so I let him start his own game. And he got to a point where he was ready to stop so we could, like, play something else, like a two-player game. And I said, no, one more. And then that's when he was able to beat Hecate, and he almost beat Skillia on the first try, too.
Oh, nice.
So I was like, okay, cool. Yeah. So then we were playing Lego Horizon Adventures, because it is two-player co-op. And yeah, so he's like, I haven't played that many of the Lego games, at least not recently, but we're playing it, and I was just telling him, like you and I were talking about, like, it's just, if you just look at it on its own merits, it's just a fun game. You just, you know, so the two big complaints I saw, like, if you're reading Steam reviews, and Lord knows why I even do that, but the biggest complaints were either, well, I don't like it because I love the Lego games, this isn't like the other Lego games. Or it's, well, I like the Horizon games, but they change the story and it's different. And it's like,
because it's Lego Horizon. Like, what?
Just play the game and have fun. What the hell?
This is why you don't read these reviews.
No, they're stupid.
Because you will hurt yourself.
So I'd like to talk about what I've been playing.
And that's all the time we have tonight, folks.
Okay, great.
Go ahead.
So, okay, so I got three new games over the weekend, and I also kind of want to circle back to kind of what we were discussing last week a little bit. So, I got Little Nightmares 3. So you may recall I kept saying, oh, I pre-ordered the Amazon exclusive Mirror Edition with the Steelbook and the Art Book and the yada yada. Well, the game's supposed to come out on the 10th, and the night of the 8th, Amazon was still saying, oh, we'll email you when we have a release date or a shipping date or whatever. And I'm like, well, that's odd. And sure enough, that Amazon exclusive edition got delayed until like the 31st. And I'm like, okay. And it was also $110. And I'm just like, you know what? Like, I pre-ordered the Xbox version because the PS5 version was out of stock. And I didn't even want to buy it from Amazon. I hate Amazon now. And I'm like, well, screw this. I go over to Best Buy. I pre-order the standard edition for PS5 for $40. And they shipped it Friday. I got it Saturday. I'm like, okay. And while I was on there, that's when I saw Lego Horizon Adventures on sale for $20. And that was the same thing. I got like one day shipping. And I'm like, screw you, Amazon. Like, even with Prime, it can still take 3 or 4 days or a week. It's like, so Best Buy is really killing it right now, just with fast shipping times, I'll say. So yeah, so I got in those two games, and then Yuka Replay Lee on Steam, they had offered it to me for $18 because I owned the original. That's, and it's like, oh yeah, I can't say no to that. Yeah. Yeah, really good deal. So, you know, last week I was complaining about when physical games come out later and they're more expensive, and you guys pointed out to me that, yeah, that's been a thing for a long time. And the more I thought about it, I'm just like, dude, you buy digital games all the time. What the fuck? Like, what are you complaining about? Like, who? Like, so I can see how, like, when a physical game comes out later, yeah, that's a problem for collectors. Like, you know, some people only buy physical games. I respect that.
I mean, that can actually be nice, just because it means the physical version might have the most, like, the last patches.
That but, too. Yeah. Right. So there's other things to consider too, and it's like, you know, if the physical copy is more expensive, I'm like, well, yeah, again, that sucks for collectors, but gee, on a long enough timeline, it'll go on sale. So Yuka Replay Lee was just such a good deal, $18 for the digital. It's like, cool, you know. And then Horizon Adventures was like, oh, that came out last year, and it's like, gee, if you wait long enough, even the physical copy will go on sale for $20. So like, I don't know what I was like. I guess I'm just impatient, you know. No. In the case of Little Nightmares 3, it's like, I was going to do an unboxing video. I wanted to stream it for my Hollow Stream stuff that I'm doing. Wanted to maybe, you know, if you want to do a review or something. So that kind of had a timeliness to it. It's like, I'm not waiting till next month or the end of this month to get the game. I want to do Halloween themed content for YouTube and Twitch and stuff. So yeah, I was just like, you know what? I think I made the right choice here. I got three games for good prices, you know, over the weekend. So I guess I'm happy with that. And I did a live stream the other night of Little Nightmares 3. So mm-hmm. It's like, all right, this is cool. Like, you know, I didn't have to wait. And but just, it's also worth noting, though, like, I've never bought anything from, like, Limited Run Games, for instance, because they just tend to be really expensive. They come out much later in some cases. And
oh, yeah, they most recently delayed the expected ship date for Mamoru-kun Recurse.
Yeah, and then it's like you have to pre-order like months in advance, and so yeah, it's just,
I mean, that's because they haven't produced it yet.
Yeah, they're making it based on how many pre-orders they get. So yeah, I understand that. Sure.
Well, if you're lucky, they might do a vault re-release of the game reprint.
Yeah, there's been a lot more of that too, and yeah.
And the other thing with Little Nightmares 3 is that the review embargo had lifted, and I saw some, like IGN gave it a 6, GameSpot gave it a 7, and it was like, okay, I'm like, maybe you don't want to spend $110 on some ridiculous collector's edition if you might not even like the game. So, and no, everything worked out. So I was playing that a little bit for a few hours, and yeah, it's adequately spooky. Like, if you played the free trial, then you get to just pick up where you left off. So the whole section from the demo and the free trial, the Necropolis, that's the beginning of the game, and you don't have to replay it if you already did the, you know, if you have the save data.
Hold on a second. I have to tell you about this combo of boons I just got. So there's a legendary Apollo boon that's your Omega attack and special fire 2 times, but use more magic.
Okay.
And then I got a boon just for the axe, which is your special fires 2 times in succession, but uses 15 more magic. So the special on my axe now fires 4 times.
Holy shit.
Ooh, nice.
That's perfect for Typhon. Yeah. So yeah, so those are three games I've been playing. Yeah, and Yuka Replay Lee, as I already mentioned, was, you know, I was kind of disappointed with the original because the truth is I was trying to run it on the highest settings and I wasn't getting like 60 FPS. And I didn't want to admit that my newish mid-range desktop wasn't that good. And at the time, I was kind of really into that stuff. And then I also ran into a few glitches while playing it. Like, there was a quest that I had to do twice. There was a quest that it wouldn't let me complete. So, you know, something got glitched in it. But like I said, the remake, though, is more in line with newer 3D platformers. And actually, the other thing we talked about is right in the beginning when you get the book, Laylee is like, oh yeah, by the way, we're supposed to get all the moves already. And the book's like, yeah, okay, sure.
So, yeah, I love that.
Like, it immediately starts writing in the book, we have all our moves.
You can just do whatever.
Yeah. So you get to use the rolling attack immediately. You get to use the super jump. So that's really cool. And then, like I was saying, with LEGO Horizon Adventures, to me, it's just a fun game. Like, I haven't played too many LEGO games. I played LEGO City Undercover on the Wii U when it was new and was like, oh, this is just LEGO GTA. This is neat. And of course, I like the Horizon games, but the LEGO game is good.
The 3DS version for that game, and boy, it was...
Oh, my brother was saying the same thing today. Yeah, he's like, it's a completely different game. I was like, oh boy.
Yeah, it's a prequel. The Chase Begins.
Yeah. So, is that one? So those are the three games I've been playing along with Hades 2. Is it any good?
What you need to do is to find a way to... What they really ought to do is find a way to have the LEGO City Undercover canon tie in with the LEGO Island canon. I feel this is important.
Or the Batman LEGO game canon.
Oh yeah, they're doing another LEGO Batman game, and it apparently is basically an Arkham game.
That's what it looks like.
Nice.
Better than Gotham Knights, probably.
I mean that's a low bar.
Low bar to clear. Better than Arkham Knight, also probably a low bar.
But also probably better than Kill the Justice League, Suicide Squad.
But I mean, that's...
That's the lowest bar of all.
That's the lowest bar imaginable.
Get justice for Arkham Origins. Yes. Nobody
I know, I mean, Superman 64.
But I mean, this... I feel like the LEGO games kind of didn't really get their audience that much. Like, I tried to play a lot of LEGO games with my young kids, and they cannot really figure out those puzzles very easily, and it's kind of not fun for them. They love like the open world section where they can run around as the different LEGO characters and try the different characters and fight bad guys and do basic LEGO
makes
things.
You wonder whether or not kids are actually just getting stupider because schools are teaching them poorly.
I don't think that has anything to do with it. Like, I just think those puzzles are kind of boring.
Like, puzzles are not the fun part.
Yeah,
because I know that like my nieces and nephews all play like Minecraft or Fortnite.
It's what? All Roblox, man.
Or that
Roblox.
Roblox.
Well, my sister prohibits their children from playing Roblox because of the crap involved with that.
That's understandable.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of those old LEGO games suck.
Wow, harsh.
They just kind of do, like, and yeah. it's a shame.
I played Dimensions. It was like, yeah, this is,
Dimensions was actually kind of fun, but mostly just because there were lots of like good story bits and stuff like that.
The only thing that turned me off was like, yeah, this is basically just set up to make you purchase a lot of stuff.
Yes, although you can get through the main story just with whatever it comes with, but it had a really fun, and this is probably why there was no LEGO Batman movie game. It had a LEGO Batman movie expansion that was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in part of that, it has LEGO Batman from the movie talking to LEGO Batman from like the games, like Troy Baker LEGO Batman. It was great. But I mean, a lot of those LEGO games are really cool. Like LEGO Batman 3, it's got a bunch of all like the different Green Lantern stuff with like the Red Lanterns and cool stuff like that. And then it's just like, okay, find the right character that can interact with this door. Great. Good job. I'm all for making a game that makes kids think. I don't think those LEGO games are it. So, if they're going to make more games like LEGO Horizon, which actually has some clever combat that's not just like mindlessly bashing buttons, like you have to dodge, there's lots of environmental things you can interact with. There's special weapons you can get with limited ammo that do cool things.
The rocket boots.
Yeah.
Would you play a LEGO game that was an RPG?
Hell yeah. Hell fucking yeah. Turn-based action, whatever.
I wonder what they could, like, apply to that kind of formula.
Lego Quest.
I was thinking it was probably show up more as a license tie-in first before they did a
probably. But
yeah,
I mean,
so I like hearing the same voice actors just cracking jokes and just being goofy, like Ashley Birch. And
yes,
there's anytime Aloy eats something, just hearing Ashley Birch going num 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 num. I just think it's hilarious.
Yes, the only sad part about that is it killed me because I know Lance Reddick would have fucking ruled at this game.
I know. I said that to my brother. I said, "Oh, they must have made this after he passed."
Because he had a really good sense of humor, and
he had a really distinctive voice too.
Yes, yeah. he would have been amazing. And yeah,
that game like cheap yet?
Yes, yes, it is.
I just got it for $20, physical copy PS5.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun, and it's not like brain dead easy like the combat in the other Lego games. I think it's got a difficulty
set. I played the Skywalker games, but like it plays like the old Lego games, so I won't.
This does not.
No. It's really just doing its own thing. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
I should probably have answered some questions, but my brain is fucking fried.
Hold on. I'm gonna pull this one from Farmire because it's a good one. Is it just me, or has Expedition 33 replaced Pokemon in this common refrain? I hate turn-based JRPG, but Pokemon is different. It's like white people who hate rap but love Eminem.
Oh, God.
Okay.
I get where he's going.
Tell us how you really feel.
I get where he's going. I don't. How to put this. For me, this Pokemon was never in that subject because a lot of people who play Pokemon don't play a lot of other RPGs.
I'm gonna dip out.
Just in general.
Yes. Whenever you need to dip out, Eric, don't worry about it.
Yeah, I'm getting tired. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, plug RP Grinders before you leave.
Yeah, you can get your plug in now.
Plug.
My podcast is called RP Grinders. We've been doing it for I've been doing it for about 16 years, but the show is 20 years at this point. But
I thought we were pushing too long.
And you can find the RSS feed for that at rpgrinders.podbean.com. We go live on Fridays at 7 at Eastern on Twitch and YouTube. Sometimes running through both either the Twitch channel, RP Grinders, or the Mexican Longhair channel that the host operates on, and that's usually where they do their activist work, but he uses both streams to get extra viewers. Maybe you want to check that out because you might want to watch some activist stuff. There's a link to my Patreon in my Blue Sky or Mastodon profile, which is at EricRPG. And sending me as little as a dollar for whatever or at one time is fine. Either any little bit helps out so I can get more stuff or get new gear to doing the podcast effectively. But with that, I'm going to dip out.
Sure. All right. Thank you for joining us, and happy birthday.
Happy birthday as well, yeah.
Bye.
Oh, happy birthday.
All right, Expedition 33.
Expedition 33, yeah. You know what? Someone, I think it was Nobake on the Discord server, was just talking about how, you know, he was playing that on normal and was really struggling with the dodging, the parrying, and that's the issue I had. But then he said when he switched it down to easy, like enemies do barely any damage, and it was too easy. And it just got me to thinking there's a lot of games where I think, like, man, normal's too hard and easy's too easy, and I just wish there was something in between.
Yeah, I haven't really played Expedition 33. I think you can do some stuff to, like, make the parry and dodge timing a little more generous, which might get you closer to what you're looking for.
Yeah, I don't think it had those options. Like, I know, like, Doom Dark Ages and Prince of Persia, the newest one, those let you set parry time separately, but I don't believe Expedition had that unless it got added in later.
It may have gotten added.
Okay, because I played it on Game Pass, like, the day it came out. Okay. Well, yeah, so that's something I thought maybe I'd revisit at some point, but, you know, maybe wait for a sale or something. Because, like, I liked the characters, and I liked where the story was going, but like I said, I just kept dying and just didn't have the patience for it.
Did you see the joking negative review image posted on RP Gamer's channel?
No.
It was a screenshot of a negative review for the game, and it went on about how great everything was, and this is great, everything was great, and then at the very final end, it's like, but yeah, I'm going to give it a zero because it shows that the French people can be nice and empathetic to other people, and screw that.
Fuck. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I will. I'm just sort of waiting to see if it shows up on Twitch too.
Wouldn't surprise me, no.
Yeah, they've mentioned like an interest in doing so.
I will wait a little bit, just like I am for Metaphor, because I have a stack of RPGs, so I can afford to wait to play this.
Yeah, we're gonna get like five of them. Like, we got Stray Children coming out, we got DQ12 coming out, we got Pokemon coming out.
I have about 10
I'm just waiting to see if my copy of Stray Children updates to have an English patch.
Ooh. It probably will.
I don't know one way or another, but I do know that it is possible because for some reason, Metal Dogs did that a year and a half ago, and I was very surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised, because like, typically it's kind of like one, like, if it exists in one region, you kind of end up with the same thing for all regions on the eShop.
Yeah, but what surprised me about with Metal Dogs was the fact that it was a physical cartridge.
Yeah.
And suddenly I log into it, and it's like, it's playing in English. I'm like, what happened here? How did this happen? I'm not sure.
Sometimes we don't question these things.
I mean, considering this happened like over a year after the game's owner was sold the IP to a different company. but yeah, if it could happen to Metal Dogs, it could happen to anything. So I'm probably going to be playing Stray Children again next month.
Not like that's a bad English thing.
Yeah. So I can enjoy seeing how all the insanity somehow got translated. Because I know exactly what's in that game. I'm still not sure how they could put it into English. So this is going to be fun.
That's not good.
It's fine. What are you talking about?
Oh, that's not. Oh, I don't like. Oh, okay.
You're fine.
Yeah,
I'm playing Little Nightmares 3, and strange things are happening, and I'm like, oh, no, let's maybe not play this right now.
Yeah, I need to go to super sleep, so let's get this. Tell me where I can read books.
Okay, so.
The library.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, it's very difficult to get libraries to stock independently published fiction.
Aww.
So, at least if you're living on the other side of the planet and cannot personally meet with a librarian to sweet talk them into doing this for you.
Is this a thing that happened to you?
No, I can dream. But, it's. Going through my history of trying to get stuff published and various roadblocks encountered, and a lot of it comes down to the fact that I don't live in the same on the same hemisphere, much less the same time zone as a lot of people. So, yeah. But I know we have been a little negative on Amazon in this podcast, deservedly so. However, that's where all my books are, so I can't really say much else right now.
Oh, you don't have them with Barnes & Noble or any other place?
Well, no, because it's the part where it's independently published.
Right. Okay. Right. Gotcha.
Yeah. And attempts to change that situation have currently met with legal proceedings. So that's not going anywhere either. But yeah, if you're interested in costing Amazon some money, if you happen to have a Kindle Unlimited account, under basic math, it would seem that if you read through the entire Princesses of the Pizza Parlor series on Kindle Unlimited from start to finish in 1 month, that will cost them more in royalties to me than it costs you in monthly fees.
Nice.
So please, please, let's just do our best to put them out of business. I mean, it's never going to happen, but every little bit hurts. Okay, so that's Princesses of the Pizza Parlor on Kindle and Kindle Unlimited. Currently 13 episodes, 5 side stories, 1 very long and kind of self-indulgent paralogue. My goal for November, December is to simply finish the main quest line of this series. So it will be 15 episodes by the end of the year, hopefully. Pending cover art, as always. And beyond that, we have Vainglorious Long as the Night, which is finally been getting some attention, which is nice. Lit RPG, Metroidvania styled, has its own customized CERO game rating logo, just because I was feeling funny. But yes, Vainglorious Long as the Night for something a little different. And then for something even more different, we have Tanuki as a Teapot, Japanese Folktales. Again, cute animals. Very few things die, which took some effort considering how a lot of Japanese folktales end up going. And illustrations by yours truly, because nobody said I could not. And then finally, you over in the corner, getting
a shitty robot.
Yeah, yep. And finally, over in the corner where it's getting absolutely no attention because I don't really know how to market this thing properly, on my other pen name, Michael Spearwater, S-P-E-A-R-W-A-T-E-R, I have a romantasy published. Again, I have no idea how to market this thing, so I'm just throwing stuff into the wind. So if anyone's interested in a somewhat spicy fantasy world retelling of Around the World in 80 Days, it was fun to write. I honestly don't see it selling anything anytime soon. But give it a check if that sounds interesting. Okay. Oh. Okay, that's about all this time. Just still, I'm always still writing. I keep going stuff.
Keep your eyes peeled. There's plenty more to come.
Yep.
Joe, where can we find you?
Yes, I am Smokin' Joe Gamer, and you can find me on Twitch and YouTube, twitch.tv/SmokinJoeGamer, and also YouTube under the same name. I'm also on the Ask Wheels server and the RP Gamer Discord server, where you can chat if you want. So, yeah, after dealing with some family-related stuff, I should be back on my normal streaming schedule, so that would be Tuesday and Thursday nights on the RP Gamer channel, which you might actually be watching right now. And right now I think the plan is to maybe do one or two more streams of Rune Factory Guardians of Ozma, and RP Gamer had agreed to send me a copy of Pokemon Legends ZA for streaming purposes, so hoping to receive that this week. So yeah, so there may only be one or two more streams of Rune Factory, and it's a great game that I would definitely recommend, but it's just that after streaming it like 15 times, and I am getting a little burned out, and I want to just stream something else.
Reasonable.
So there's that. And then I haven't done anything on my own Twitch channel in a long time, but just over the weekend, late Saturday night, I decided to do Little Nightmares 3 in the dark at like 1 a.m. and it was pretty spooky, and of course my stupid PS5 camera was fucking up and I shut it off, but no, it still came out pretty good, I think. And you know, you can just listen to my commentary as I'm playing the game and getting scared and grossed out and everything. So I'm hoping to do some more spooky Hello stream content like I do every year. So I would say that would probably end up being on Saturday, but you can also, if you follow me on Blue Sky, then I can post on there when I'm going to go live. And as for YouTube, yeah, I put a few clips up there of different games and just haven't been getting any views or interactions on there at all. So, but we'll see. So yeah, that's where you can find me. And consider liking, subscribing, etc. And that way you'll know when new videos go live. How about that?
Consider.
Maybe I'll do some Hades 2 post-game streams now that I've almost beaten it. We'll see.
Excuse me. As for this very podcast, you can find us by...
I'm watching the stream wheels, and I'm seeing the four axe eruptions.
As for this very podcast, you can find us 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern. Mondays, if you catch us when we're streaming, you might be able to ask us questions. I feel like a huge asshole for not actually keeping enough tabs on the chat and answering questions. We will improve that next week, or I will die trying. You can also ask us questions via the comment section or in the podcast section of the Discord. You can ask us questions. You can also catch us for Shenanigans, which is at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern on Sundays. Otherwise... my brain is dead. See you, Space Cowboys.
See ya.
This is Mole Man in the morning. Good Mole Man to you.
No, it's too late for that.